Great. Thank you everyone for joining us. I'd like to call the March 10th meeting of the Laws, Rules, and Government Services Committee to order. Can I get approval for the February 10th regular and the February 24th special meeting minutes?
I move.
Can I get a second? Seconded by Leader Ronk. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. So moving on, I would like to pull resolution number 104 out of order, bring that to the top since we have Mr. Gallagher here, who is the executive's nomination for appointment of a member to the Ulster County Ethics Board. So seeing no, if there's no objections, can I have a motion for discussion?
Done.
And seconded by Leader Ronk. Mr. Gallagher, thank you for joining us. I would like to open the floor. If you would like to, you know, in a period of about 2 minutes, give us a little introduction to yourself.
Absolutely.
And then I'll leave questions from any of the members.
Sure. Well, thank you all for having me this evening. My name is Dylan Gallagher. I am a native of the area. I grew up in Northern Dutchess County, went to school in Red Hook. After college, I went down to Virginia where I clerked for a judge and then began my career in law as a prosecutor. Then I subsequently came back here after about 10 years. I've been in Ulster County now for about 11 or 12 years. I came back to take a job with the Ulster County District Attorney's Office where I served as a prosecutor for a few more years. And since then, I've been in private practice, first down in Poughkeepsie, then I was a partner with a firm in Albany doing mostly civil medical malpractice defense. And for the past 2+ years, I've been with O'Connor & Partners here in Kingston, and I've had the pleasure of doing civil work primarily in Ulster County. That is me in a nutshell.
Thank you very much. Do any members have any questions for Mr. Gallagher? Seeing none, I'll call the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Seeing none, the resolution's passed unanimously. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Gallagher. You're free to stay on if you want to hang out, but you're also free to go. So thank you for joining us tonight.
I wouldn't all do right. it if I were you.
Thank you. Thank you all. I appreciate your time this evening.
Absolutely. Have a good night. Thank you.
You too.
Okay, back to our regular scheduled programming. Resolution number 14, authorizing the termination of a lease agreement with CPR Kingston LLC Bank for space used by the Board of Elections. Motion to discuss?
Postpone.
Okay, second, can we just go right to the postponement or do I need a motion for discussion first?
Should be able to just postpone.
Yep, can I have a second on the postponement? Leader Ronk, all in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Seeing none, it is postponed. Next up, we have resolution number 16, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 2 of 2022, a local law amending the charter of the County of Ulster, amending the administrative code, repealing chapter 44, ethics and disclosure of the Code of Ulster County, and establishing the Ulster County Ethics Law to be held on Tuesday, April 19th at 7:10 p.m. So I want to thank everyone for the great progress we made during the special meeting. I thought it was very productive. And I think we're very close. There's a couple items I'd like to, that I have that I'd like to pose. I'm sorry, did I take a motion for discussion on that?
I'll move it.
Okay.
To present to the committee. So starting first, Comptroller Gallagher, during our working session, you had mentioned, you know, for example, USIDA, and LDCs in terms of them being required to file the disclosure form. Councilor Gucci, I know you looked into that. Could you just speak briefly to that, what your findings were with that? And then I have a suggestion.
Sure, thank you for the time. I was able to look at that, and I also conferred with Minority Counsel Pascal, who also looked into it as well. And the case law that we found indicates that our ethics law wouldn't be able to reach membership of an LDC. As a potential workaround, however, we could implore the LDC to enact such a requirement in its own bylaws. So even though we wouldn't be able to compel them from the county perspective, they can do so internally.
And so, oh, please go ahead, Comptroller Gallagher.
I'd love if you could share any research with me, that would be really helpful, sure. Just offline. You know, if you are finding cases that bar it, obviously the IDA is, you know, a public authority, not an LDC. And I recall when I was part of the Development Corporation Board, I thought we had to file them. I want to note, you know, that these bodies, the Housing Corporation, the Economic Development Alliance, are making major disposition of asset decisions for Ulster County, and as well as, you know, making their own purchasing and procurement decisions for those entities. And it would be really good to know, you know, what the members are involved in. I also want to mention that the Electrical Licensing Board comes to my mind as, is it in there?
No, I'm going to bring that up next.
So I'll pause on that, but please share anything you have with me. You know, these are people making major decisions for the county.
Sure. And with the chair's permission, I can forward you my email of March 8th. It's up to Leader Heppner.
100%, 100%.
All right.
Anyone who would like to see it. You know, so in the meantime, you know, the options are we could just go ahead and add them and see if they, you know, just they on their own goodwill choose to go through the process, or we could, you know, again, we could, you know, send a letter from Laws and Rules. If, you know, council is firmly believing that, you know, we can't force them to it, we can send a letter from the members of Laws and Rules with the information, strongly urging them to implement this into their bylaws. But I, you know, I'm curious what the will of the committee is. You know, and that letter can come at any point through this process. But just, you know, those are some options I was thinking. But if we don't want to take any action right now, we can move on to the next point. Seeing no opinion at the moment, I will move on to what Comptroller Gallagher, she actually reached out to me today, which I thought was a really good point. I just, for some reason, assumed they were on that list, even though it's a long list, but it makes total sense to me that the Electrical Licensing Board should be added to that list. I would like to propose that we do add the Electrical Licensing Board to the list, especially with the duties in which they're tasked. Does anyone have any opposition to that? So seeing no opposition, Clerk Mahler, could you please add the Electrical Licensing Board? And thank you, Comptroller Gallagher, for catching that. Those, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Legislator Erner is a...
Oh, sorry. I couldn't see your hands perfectly lined up with the light. I couldn't see it. Legislator Erner, please go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Leader and Chair Heppner. I missed a little bit of this, but I had a general comment on another section. Is this an appropriate time, or do you want to call on me again later?
I was actually going to bring that was next on my list to bring up what I think exactly you're going to say. So I'll set you up, and then you can come in further if you'd like. How about that?
Sure.
So I believe you're going to bring up the point which I was going up that was brought up in caucus. If it's the will of the committee and moving forward with the public hearing, do we want right now the current enactment date of the law is set for January 1st, 2023. We do have the ability to adjust that, which we could adjust to, you know, enact it. I believe it's up to within 30 days. So it could be enacted 30 days from passing. Is that what it is? No, Leader Ronk? I thought that's what Vicky told me, but I could be wrong.
So I know that in the past, one of the concerns the county executive's office has had is the referendum question. Mm-hmm. And if this has to go to referendum, that was, I believe, why we had it beginning January 1st. It also provides for a more clean break from the current board, because we're essentially vacating the ethics board and appointing an entire new ethics board. So if we want to move forward with the referendum question, I don't believe that we'd be able to make it effective within 30 days, unless we held a special election, which would cost tens of thousands of dollars, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You know, because that's one thing, you know, we had discussed in the past, especially in last week, is whether or not we believe, you know, based on, you know, what was presented on from our neighbors to the south in Orange County, that, you know, the question, do we need to go to referendum?
I mean, for me, if I could just follow up on that, I don't believe it needs to go to referendum, but I think that it looks, I think it looks better to the, for the legislature that we put it out to referendum. And I also think that it eliminates a possible legal challenge by the county executive. And the county attorney's office and the county executive's office have floated that as a likely possibility.
So, you know, the one thing that's interesting, and, you know, he's actually, Deputy Executive Ryder is not on the call. I thought he on the Zoom. I thought he would be. He mentioned in the Democratic caucus is that, you know, Council Iguchi might be able to phrase it better. But my understanding, and I know you spoke with him today, was that he said that a referendum isn't even what the real concern is, that he doesn't believe it would fix what their concerns were at one point. Am I correct?
That's exactly what he said to me. Yeah. That this issue stemmed from not a curtailment necessarily, but the general municipal law matter that they had raised previously about just the general structure of the appointment process.
And while I respect that that's their opinion, I think that they actually have a better argument on the curtailment than they do on the general municipal law issues.
I'm just sharing what Deputy Executive Ryder very...
Oh, I understand. But again, I think that they're gonna, you know, they're gonna throw mayonnaise to the wall and see what sticks. So,
I thought it was pasta, but I guess mayonnaise.
Right.
Legislator Erner, did you want to speak to this point? As you're the one that brought it up originally in caucus.
No, thank you. I don't have anything to add on this point. I had a different point to make after this point, though.
Okay, great. I'll be sure to call on you. Legislator, but let us get through this one and then we'll get to the next one. Legislator, you should tell.
Yeah, what I'd like to say is, you know, regarding the question of the referendum, I think zooming out, the one of the issues that I see is that we're changing a handful of items here that have been in the queue for a long time that we've wanted to change. And many of them don't require a referendum at all. So what I would, if we feel like we want to go to a referendum, I would suggest breaking it apart and doing only the issues that would trigger or that are question, you know, a gray area for the referendum as a law that would need to take effect in 2023. And then, because some of the other issues that are addressed in this amended law, are issues that are affecting items before the legislature that were before the legislature last term. And I think it's unfortunate if those issues would get wrapped into the larger question of a referendum for which they're not even the matter of concern for a referendum.
Thank you, Legislator.
Thanks, I respectfully disagree. I have a long history against doing things piecemeal. Which is exactly what you're suggesting. I also will tell you, as the person who began this process in the term before the last term, you know, the number one item on my agenda for amending the ethics law was amending the way the ethics board is appointed, which is the portion that would require a referendum, that might require a referendum. And I think that, you know, changing all of the items that we're changing in the ethics law without changing the way the ethics board is appointed is pointless.
Any other comments? Legislator Guevara, Legislator Levine.
No, I would like to move forward, but I know this is the problem where attorneys disagree with each other. This is where you're at. I agree with Legislator Ronca. I think we can move forward. I don't think this is a conflict the way the county attorney does.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Levine, please go ahead.
Just in regards to something that Legislator Ronk had brought up regarding the feasibility of potentially having, you know, if we had to go to referendum and we didn't, you know, didn't wait till November, if we wanted to do it before November and hold a special election, that would cost a lot of money. I would agree that that would be an unfeasible idea. But I mean, would it be possible if it is determined that it has to go to referendum that we look into the logistics of potentially holding it at the June primary, when there's already going to be an election being held? I was just wondering. Thank you.
That I'm not 100% sure on. That's a good question. We can have, unless Leader Rock knows the answer to that.
I mean, the be all end all of it would be a question for the Board of Elections. I believe that they could hold a referendum on that day if we chose to hold it that day. The only thing is that as of right now, there's the possibility of a gubernatorial primary, which would be statewide on the Republican side. I don't believe that there are any statewide Democratic primaries. So it would still exponentially increase the number of the number that it would cost, because you would need to bring in Democrat elections inspectors and probably open more polling places.
So I would suggest, on this front, I think, my interpretation, there seems to be some hesitation, from any immediate change from the members of the committee. But but we do have the option, depending on where we land, difference of opinions on a referendum, we have the ability, effective date is not a significant change that would spark the need for a second hearing. So we still have that ability. If we would decide to push ahead without a referendum, we would have the ability, if we so choose, to change the effective date. But right now, I think for the sake of progress and getting this public hearing moving forward, I think, I hear the opinions of the members of the committee on this. Legislator Erner, did you want to bring up a point on a different section?
Yes, please. Under Section 7, Annual Disclosure, Item D, the disclosure to be filed with the Secretary of the Board of Ethics, is not the information to be filed becoming public, and therefore why not publish it or file it with the county clerk as well?
We hand them into the clerk and then the clerk sends them to the ethics board, am I correct?
That's the legislature clerk, not the county clerk.
You mean with Clerk Pachupak?
Yeah, just the way I read it here, it says annual disclosure statement shall be filed with the Secretary of the Board of Ethics. So that basically keeps the information just with the board. Shouldn't the public have access to that information?
Our ethics has access to the information. Yeah, they're all made publicly available.
Okay.
Yeah. So what happens is it gets filed with the secretary, because they actually go through each one of our submissions and they, look at it for any conflicts, so on. The ethics board is tasked with reviewing it, and then it is made publicly available as well. So it is. And if you ask I don't even know what the webpage is, but I'm sure Clerk Mahler can point you to where the page is, or find out where the page is, whether publicly available. With that, I know Council Gordon had sent suggested language to Council Iguchi that was then shared with Council Pascal. I totally missed that email. So I'm seeing it for the first time, as unless you guys were also included on the email, but just for consideration, Clerk Mahler, could you bring that up? If you, and this is just, you know, to the committee, if they would like to include this language. So Councilor Iguchi, can you just give a brief summary to the committee and our guests?
Sure. So the proposed amendment includes a change to B section 2 and a definition of benefit, which shall include only receipt of services or advantages that are uniquely available to such county officer or employee, and shall not include receipt of any service or advantage or adoption, repeal, or modification of any statute, rule, regulation, program, tax, or fee that is generally applicable or available to county residents or taxpayers, or any subset of county residents or taxpayers with numerous members, including without limitation any category of business, health services, or any municipality or geographic area.
Leader Rock.
I'll tell you, I don't agree with this change. I think that one of the biggest problems with it is the words any subset, because, you know, you've got realtors or, you know, a bunch of other professions that could benefit from a law that we pass that could be generally applicable to the population, but not generally benefiting everyone in the population. I understand the impetus behind this is the advisory opinion that was issued by the current Board of Ethics, pretty much saying that anybody who rents an apartment or is a renter, you know, would not be able to vote on the good cause eviction law. And then that brought up the question of, you know, laws of general application and, you know, I think that a challenge to the advisory opinion is better, because even though it benefits my personal set of beliefs on good cause eviction, because I think that it would cause it not to be able to pass, I also think that the, you know, ethics opinion is bunk. I really think that it goes way too far in its application, but I find fault with amending the ethics law that we're already amending to try and get around one advisory opinion that is universally believed to be an overreach. I think that a better option would be for us to, if we want to put in, and I spoke with my counsel about this earlier, to put in a sort of a express preemptive challenge to advisory opinions, because right now I understand the concern is that we wouldn't be able a legislator or an employee who is going to perhaps violate the ethics law as seen by the Board of Ethics by way of not listening to an advisory opinion wouldn't be able to file an Article 78 until such time as they've been fined, because at that point it would be ripe for challenge. But there are other avenues in the legal process to challenge, you know, something like an advisory opinion. And I think that that's a much better way to go, you know, to allow for a sort of preemptive challenge to the advisory opinion rather than amend the ethics law about one advisory opinion.
Comments from anyone else? Thoughts? Legislator Roberts?
Yeah, I just tend to agree with the minority leader.
Legislator Guevara or Legislator Levine, do you have any thoughts? And actually, we'll legislate, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, actually. That was my first, my first thinking when that advisory opinion was rendered was that we just got to go after this. And everyone who the opinion actually affected, because I don't own property and I'm not a renter, or rather I don't own a property besides the one I'm in right now, it would be better for, so the people that were facing that, the folks on the legislature, and I realize some are present, would prefer to make it part of the ethics rewrite. I'll be honest, it's frustrating at this point, especially in the context of the previous conversation about the referendum, pushing this out until 2023, setting aside the policy components of good cause eviction, it goes beyond that particular policy. It's an entire category of legislation that we're precluded from. So while I realize that those two things, rewriting the ethics law and challenging that advisory opinion, could happen at the same time, that would require the folks that are, my understanding is it would require the folks that are precluded from engaging in conversations to provide that challenge. I don't think that it's something that I could do because I'm not in that category. And I certainly don't want to bring this to the floor with a third of the legislature recusing themselves because, whether their votes are here or there, that's just not, especially when it's something that we don't agree with. So if folks that are affected by this, I realize you can't necessarily talk about the merits of the law, but if folks that are affected by this advisory opinion want to challenge it and seriously have that conversation, I am here for it. I want to have that conversation. That hasn't happened yet. I've been asked to focus on supporting this ethics rewrite to resolve that issue. And I wish that weren't the only option, but that's the only option that folks seem to want to do. So I actually agree with Minority Leader Ronk on this.
Thank you. Legislator Guevara, and then Leader Ronk.
Councilor Gucci, can you correct me, but Chairwoman Bartels, I believe, said that this is already being worked on to challenge it. Is that not correct?
I'm sorry, I don't know if I understand your question. This language here is being worked on.
Not the language, the challenging of the opinion, the advisory opinion. I thought that was already being worked on.
Oh, well, we definitely discussed it. I don't know if there's been an actual decision to file anything at this juncture, but it's certainly been discussed at length.
Okay, I'll reach out to Chair Bartels, but I personally would like to challenge it, and I thought that's what we were doing. So, but I'll touch base with her. We'll be in touch.
Okay.
Thank you, Leader Ronk.
Thanks. I mean, I'm in favor of a challenge. I'm in the same boat as Legislator Uchitel because I'm not harmed by the advisory opinion. I neither own a rental or rent.
Yep.
So I would.
So no, I think I think we can move past this for right now. I think.
Oh, I'm fine. Yeah.
I mean, seems to be the consensus. I appreciate the recommendation. However, it seems folks believe in a different path forward. Legislator Levine, is that an old hand or a new hand?
It's a new hand. Sorry, thank you. It's just a brief clarification on, are we also mentioning, is this also gonna be brought up about, unless I'm mistaken, that this was included in the previous discussion, the small technical change that's been proposed for Section C. Am I seeing that correctly?
Section C.
It's the highlighted section, and it actually undoes the comma recommendation that was made by Legislative Council and Minority Council, who were in harmony on it, I believe, is what they had said.
We leave the comma alone.
Yeah.
Let's leave the comma alone and move on. Okay, we're done. All right, so is it the will of the committee before, is everyone comfortable moving forward with a public hearing as is? Again, we still have time, especially what, Clerk Mala, do you know what the date would be for in which the public hearing would be?
I'm sorry, I meant to unmute myself. It would be April 19th.
Would be when it's public, when it's filed for public notification.
Yeah, you have the resolution number 16 is active in front of you. So it would move to the full body with the adoption of the local law as amended for consideration next week. And then your public hearing would be scheduled for April the 19th.
And what, so my question, sorry, I didn't know what it wrote well. What is, would be the required date for the public hearing to be, go out to public notice?
2 weeks prior.
Thank you. So with that, I'll call the question for the public hearing. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, it's passed unanimously. Moving on, and again, I want to thank everyone. You know, this has been a long process. All of us have had different hands in it through different periods. So, you know, I'm glad we're moving forward. Again, thanks for, you know, all the input and constructive conversation that's going on around it. Moving on to, oh, I'm sorry, Jay, do I have to make that motion specifically because of any of the changes we made tonight?
I'm considering that you're adopting the resolution with the proposed local law as amended.
Yes, and the appendices. All right, thank you. Moving on to resolution number 17. This is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 3 of 2022, a local law amending local law number 6 of 21. The local law requiring the payment of a living wage to employees of contractors and subcontractors that provide services to Ulster County in relation to the living wage for social and human services to be held on Tuesday, April 19th, 2022 at 7:20. Just for some reference, this resolution was postponed in Ways and Means on Tuesday the 8th. You should have in your email from Clerk Mahler today an Excel spreadsheet provided to Ways and Means titled Active Contracts Subject to the Living Wage Law. It's also on your OneDrive. So can I have a motion to discuss? Made by Legislator Ron. Can I get a second? Looks like Gavaris, I think, said second. Any comments, concerns? Again, I believe this was postponed 1 week in Ways and Means. I have Legislator Ronk, and then I see Legislator Petit, your hand.
I mean, I'm not ready for a yes vote on this yet. But if we wanna, you know, I feel like I would have a problem adopting it because I think Ways and Means is the Committee of Original Jurisdiction. They should really act first. I'd be open to scheduling a special meeting for session night if we need it to go over this, but I'm not, you know, I feel like it should pass Ways and Means first.
Yep, and we will be in person. I don't disagree with that comment because we will be in person that evening. So if we need to collect ourselves right after Ways and Means for a quick meeting, we do have that option. Legislator Petit, and then Legislator Levine, then Legislator Gavaris.
You, and thank you for, considering taking a really good look at this. As you go through the list of the contracts, please note that, some of them are professionals in their field. So obviously they're going to be making way over $20 an hour now. I had reached out to the Mental Health Association and to RCAL. I've been told that they pay their employees over 20 an hour. So once we have Amber and Natalie are diving a little bit deeper in this, the county exec's office has been taking a good look at it. So we're going to get some more concrete numbers. You know, obviously in life, there's no guarantee. And last month it was mentioned that the increase from the last resolution presented by John Parody was about $1 million. It could possibly be, this would be $2.5 million. I don't think that'll be across the board, but and I think given the cost of living increases, given the price of fuel, given the price of electric, the cost of housing in Ulster County, because it was artificially inflated when we had an exodus of people from New York City coming up here, it would still be a win for the county to contract out, to make sure that those individuals are getting paid $20 an hour, and we still wouldn't have the legacy costs or the health costs that we would if we created new positions. So thank you.
Thank you, Legislator Petit. Legislator Levine, then Legislator Gavaris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I was just going to say that I agree with Legislator Ronk in that his belief that, you know, Ways and Means as the Committee of Original Jurisdiction should really take the first action on this. And, you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, I agreed with that sentiment going forward. So I just wanted to let that be known.
Thank you, Legislator Gavaris, then Erna.
Thank you. I also agree with Legislator Ronk. But in terms of the comment that was made that the execs team is looking into this as well, they're not. They Mark sent me an email back when I questioned, you know, they gave us the list of contractors that would be affected, but there's no numbers associated with it. And our staff, I know they're working hard to get that. I highly doubt that that will be done by Wednesday's meeting. I mean, I don't think it hurts for us to schedule a special meeting, so we have the option, but I wouldn't get our hopes up of actually having that information by then, because it's a lot of details that are needed.
So I'm gonna talk to the clerk just for public notification purposes to schedule a 5-minute meeting of laws and rules in between Ways and Means and session, just for that sake, but, you know, and if we have to and need to, we'll be able to do it. But if not, we'll, you know, depending on the will of Ways and Means. Legislator Erna.
Thank you. I want to echo Legislator Petit's gratitude for you all taking this up and talking about this now. And I want to bring some comments that Legislator Maloney has made about this in other committees that folks who we ended up raising up to $20 an hour from, say, 15 now, might very well elevate folks off of other county payments that are having to be made through DSS and whatnot because they can't afford to pay for the things on their current low wage salaries. And that with all the deliberation we do about raising those who make the least in our county, I would just hope that we deliberate quite carefully as well about anyone we intend to increase the salary on who is on the upper end. The number of folks who make less, as we all well know, is far more. And when it's easy to talk about dollars and cents from a point of privilege, but the fact is this could have an immense benefit and open the conversation as to how the wage inequity is in our county in general, not just for our contractors, but as well in the private sector. So I hope that we can continue having these kinds of discussions. Thank you.
Thank you, Legislator Erna. Legislator Gavaris, is that a new hand?
It is, thank you. Just maybe a possible suggestion for the meeting, if you want to do it as a joint meeting, I can put this to the top of the Ways and Means agenda, and then depending on the outcome of that, this committee could also then vote at the same time.
Just a suggestion. I'll leave that to the will of the committee. I'm open. What do you think? Legislator Roberts?
I'm a no on joint meeting.
Yeah, I don't.
I think we could have our meeting in 5-10 minutes if necessary, right before session.
100%. Worst case, we just gavel in and gavel out. You can go into the chair's office. You know, I think it's two very separate discussions. And so I think, you know, I agree with Legislator Roberts that I don't think it's necessary also just for the sake of your agenda. I don't think you need us there.
Well, I could put it at the end too, and that'll help as well. Either way, it doesn't matter. I'm just throwing out there is it's going to be the same conversation in both committees, I'm sure.
We do appreciate your generosity.
Yeah, I know you want to hang out with us more, but Leader Ronk, did you have your hand up?
I was just saying I agree with Legislator Roberts. I mean, our role in local laws is, you know, legal sufficiency. It's not about, you know, it's not about the issue in chief, and the issue in chief here is a financial one.
Yep, agreed. All right. So can I get a motion to postpone?
I'll move we postpone it to a special meeting on Wednesday. Or yeah, Wednesday.
Okay. Time to be determined. Can I get a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Legislator Roberts. All in favor on the postponement?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Postponement is carried unanimously. Moving on, we did resolution 104 out of order. We are now in our last resolution. This is resolution number 157, requesting the county executive to appoint members to and convene the Charter Revision Commission pursuant to section 5 of the Charter of the County of Ulster. Motion to discuss. Second.
I'll move it.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Gabarras, moved by Leader Ronk. I want to make sure people are aware. I believe Mr. Cajun, you sent some suggested language changes and so on and other changes to members. Just out of curiosity, Mr. Cajun, was the sponsor, Legislator Maloney, included on that email? Yes?
No, that was all me, just me.
No, no, was he included on the email or did he receive your suggestion?
I don't think so.
Okay, so personally, I would feel right now, because we can always make amendments on the floor. Legislator Maloney would like to make those changes. I would just feel more comfortable for him to have time to, as the sponsor and the author, to have give him due respect to review that without us making any changes.
One point I'd like to make, if you're requesting something, he doesn't even have to veto it.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, the reality of this is that I believe this resolution is essentially memorializing. It does not, there is no
legal. Aren't you asking him to abide by the law?
Yes, but again, it's memorializing.
Okay.
Yeah, I tend to agree with Mr. Cajun and share some of the frustration that, you know, we have a memorializing resolution here that, you know, is politely requesting that the executive follow our charter. You know, that having been said, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to the change. I wouldn't be opposed to not having the change. As one of the sponsors, I'll tell you that I would not be opposed if that change were made.
You'd like to make the motion.
The executive's office is telling some people, they haven't told me yet, that they plan on, oh wait, no, I did get a message earlier, that they plan on appointing their members. You know, if the executive appoints their members prior to this resolution passing next Wednesday, perhaps we could withdraw it. And then our resolution had, you know, accomplished its goal. But I also think that, you know, demanding is a good word. So I appreciate Mr. Cajun's input.
So
that's all.
Yep. So, Leader Ronk, as you know, in conversations we've had, you and I are in I think, a strong agreement on this and united on this.
Yep.
And what you just were referencing occurred during the Democratic caucus, where there seemed to be a change of intention from the executive's office, is how I would interpret it. And Legislator Maloney said, you know, I think respectfully and well said, if, you know, you're willing to come work with us, I'm willing to withdraw the resolution. I think we can either, Leader Ronk, I didn't realize you're a co-sponsor on this. If you want to make the amendments tonight on this,
I'm fine waiting for Legislator Maloney.
Yep, I just hadn't seen it in time. But again, if Legislator Maloney wants to make those changes on the floor, I'll happily support it, so. Otherwise, we can just move call the vote on the resolution as is. Is everyone good with that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so on the resolution, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Seeing none, it passes unanimously. Please note in the agenda two resolutions that have been currently postponed, one in Energy and Environment and Sustainability Committee, and the other postponed in Health, Human Services, and Housing Committee that will be potentially forthcoming. So just to put those on your radar. At this point, I'd like to be happy to open it up to any new business or old business that anyone would like to update the committee on. Seeing none, I'll take a motion for adjournment and thank you all for your time.
Second.
All in favor on adjournment?
Aye.
Thank you all. Have a great night.